Welcome in to Family Devotions with Religionless Christianity. We're so grateful that you're here. We're happy that you're joining us as we continue our walk through the book of Genesis, today discussing Genesis chapter 14. This week, boy, is this a chapter with some big theological points. Here first, though, we see that a war breaks out among many of the competing kings in the area around the Valley of Siddim, which at various times is said to be both at the southern end of the Dead Sea and the northern end of the Dead Sea. I'm not sure which is accurate, but it sounds like it was around the Dead Sea. These kings war and in the process take captive Abram's nephew Lot. Abram hears from a fugitive that Lot has been captured, and he gathers his own troops to go and retrieve his beloved nephew. Abram musters 318 men and strikes down Chedorlaomer and the kings with him and retrieves Lot as well as all the possessions that were taken by the kings. It was a total deliverance. After the return from battle, we read one of the most mysterious and often discussed interactions in Scripture. Abram meets with the king of Sodom and the king of Salem, who goes by the name Melchizedek. This king, we are told in verse 18, is also a priest of God Most High. This king priest then blesses Abram, and Abram pays him a tenth of all he has. So who was this king and priest named Melchizedek? Was he just a king from the city of Salem? Or was this Christ meeting Abram in the Valley of Sheva? There's been much debate over this topic, and we won't end the debate here. And in fact, there's another point I would rather focus on from this chapter. In verses 21 through 24, the king of Sodom tries to offer Abram the spoils from the battle that Abram fought and won, and incredibly, Abram refuses, saying in verse 22 through 23, "I have raised my hand to Yahweh, God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take a thread or sandal strap or anything that is yours, so that you would not say, I have made Abram rich." What an amazing statement from Abram. He fought and won a battle. The spoil was probably rightly his, yet he refuses on the basis that he doesn't want anyone to think that his blessings came from a man rather than God. Abram was so confident in God's blessings and so intent on glorifying God that he would turn down, I'm assuming, a rather large portion just to avoid the appearance of being blessed by some person. You know, the incredible thing is, you know, Abram had already been blessed by God and was very wealthy. He could have very easily taken his portion and said, "Well, God had already blessed me. This was nothing, and I earned it." But his mind was on glorifying God. You know, do we really see God as our treasure? Is God the ultimate prize? Or is God just a means to your ultimate prize? Is he simply the one who is going to get you that ultimate prize? You know, if God's not your ultimate prize, then your view of God is too small, and your love may be too little. And do you really see heaven as a certainty? If you do, then you can refuse the momentary temptations of this world and resist the false sense of security placed in material possessions or money. And do you really believe that we're storing up treasures for ourselves in heaven? If so, then we don't need to store it up here on earth. We can use our blessings to bless others. In a world dominated by the love of money, let's pray that our desire would be set rightly, to be in right relationship with God and loving community with the body.
What stands out to me in this chapter is Lot. He's taken care of and rescued only because he's Abram's nephew. In chapter 13, Lot settled his tent near the city of Sodom. Then in chapter 14, we read that Lot was actually living in Sodom. And this is why he and his family were captured. This is a good spiritual application for us. We can get close to sin, thinking we can handle it. Then before we know it, we are not as shocked by sin and get closer and closer and could end up living in sin. Lot and his family get captured because they were living in that sinful city when it was taken. Abraham rescues Lot and all is returned to him. But sadly, they go back to that same city to live there again. How many times does God rescue us from harm and we still go right back to where we were before? And I see such mercy here in this chapter. Abraham is successful in his rescue because of God. So I don't understand why Lot would move back there with his family. Why not just settle your tent someplace else, since it's all moved out of the city already anyway? Makes sense to me. So we need to ask ourselves this question. Why do we settle down in a sinful situation or near sin? Even if God removes you from the situation, do you return like Lot did? He is putting his family in spiritual danger, bringing them up in that city. I wonder if there was a seemingly good compromise at least. But these are things that we need to consider as well. What are we perhaps compromising? Remember, we are told to flee temptation and sin. What Lot was doing was the complete opposite. We should never compromise the spiritual well-being of ourselves or others for anything this world offers.
Absolutely not. And let's end today with our prayer from the Scottish Psalter of 1595. Today, praying from Psalm 149. Instruct our mouths, O good Lord, with a new song, that our hearts being renewed, we may sing in the company of thy saints and rejoice in thee, our Creator and Redeemer. Let us possess such peace of conscience as may strongly work for thee. And being girded with the two-edged sword of thy word and Holy Spirit, may we strive against all things that oppose themselves to the glory of thy most holy name, and that through Jesus Christ, thy dear Son, our only Lord and Redeemer. Amen.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.